news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk, and we very much appreciate you joining us on the other side of the glass. Taking fabulous care of us already is Mr. Rob Center, our producer, so we appreciate his help and hard work. Today's one of the days where we dedicate the whole Sunrise segment to a series of safety measures, not frozen and snow safety. We kind of did that last November, but we could probably reiterate some of that stuff briefly because we do have some frozen precipitation in the forecast. But today we're probably going to be talking about the fact that we have a lot of folks that are back out and about driving. We're going to talk about seatbelt laws, child passenger laws, child passenger safety seat laws. And then in our 740 segment, we'll talk to a state trooper, Andrea Pelichick, who's a community service officer up at the Milton Barracks, about distracted and impaired driving, some of the subtleties about that. But for the first part of our program, we welcome back to the studio Kimberly Smith. Kim Smith, as we know her, safety press officer from PennDOT District 3O up in Montoursville. So welcome aboard.
Thank you. Good morning.
Pull that mic up just a little bit closer to you, if you would. And Mike Deal is back, community traffic safety coordinator with the Highway Safety Network. And he's been keeping us informed. We talked to him not too long ago about some of the things to keep in mind as we approach the Super Bowl. So we appreciate that. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. Both of you move just another inch closer to the mic as well. All right, well, let's start out with Kim. I always kind of ask for a quickie overview. Mm-hmm. Anything really new when it comes to seatbelt laws, child passenger safety laws, sort of new laws?
Right. So Highway Safety Law Awareness Week was really about highlighting some of those lesser-known laws or highlighting new laws, but we haven't really had any new laws this past year. So we decided to kind of go back to basics and remind folks about our speed limit laws and seatbelt laws and that sort of thing, just to kind of reiterate, because for many people it's been a long time since they read the driver's manual, and we like to remind them about what the law means and why we have them in place.
All right, well, let's. I looked through, you told us, you sent us some of the sort of reasonable questions and topics that may come up in this segment, and I was surprised to see that drivers under the age of 18 may not operate a vehicle where the number of passengers exceeds the number of seatbelts.
Right, right. Because with adults, adults in the back seat don't need to have a seatbelt on by law. We do want them to have a seatbelt on no matter where they sit in the car for safety reasons. But by law, adults in the back seat do not have to have a seatbelt on. So even if a child under the age of 18 is driving, even if they have adults in the car, they cannot exceed the number of seatbelts.
All right, and this be a good time to ask Mike again. I know I mentioned this to you about a month ago, but remind us exactly what the Highway Safety Network is and your work. I mean, we see you popping up all over, so I already know part of the answer about what you do. But tell us about the Highway Safety Network, please.
So the Highway Safety Network is a grant-funded organization, and what we do is provide education and awareness to the community in an effort to reduce our injuries and fatalities on roadways.
We see both of you at elementary schools, at rodeos, at community events. So you go out and about and spread the word wherever folks will listen.
Anybody that'll listen to us, we'll talk to them.
All right. Well, and Kim just a moment talked about child passenger safety laws a little bit. What are some of the messages that you take out to folks when it comes to child passenger safety seats or just children in the vehicle at all?
So some of the things that we like to talk to people about are the laws for child passenger safety seats, because they're not widely known. And those are that you're required to be buckled into a rear-facing car seat until at least age 2, or you meet the maximum weight and height requirements set by the manufacturer of the seat. Then after that, you can progress to the different seats in the stages of their growth and age. That being said, the last section of that is the booster seat. And while the law says at age 8 you can be out of a booster seat, what we like to encourage people to consider is our seatbelts in our vehicles are designed to fit people that are 4'9". So an 8-year-old may not be 4'9". So if you graduate out of that booster seat into a regular seat too soon, you may actually be putting yourself in more danger than staying in that booster.
wasn't that long ago I was 4'9", but that's a whole nother topic. But honestly, I think this is a subtle thing where you need a Mike, a Kim, or a Trooper Pelichick to figure it out sometimes.
Right, right. There's a lot to understand with car seats, and every car seat manufacturer has different regulations for each car seat model that they have. And then your owner's manual for your vehicle may tell you different things as well as far as where you can place that seat. So it's a lot to know, and we recognize that, which is why we have certified child passenger safety technicians that are always free and able to help parents and caregivers with make sure that the car seat is safe and that it's installed correctly. And so you can look for car seat clinics that pop up throughout the spring and summer, but also you can contact your local state police barracks and schedule an appointment with them. And like I said, it's always free.
And you are a safety seat technician?
I am a safety seat technician.
What do you check? I pull up with my truck or car and say, there's a child safety seat in there. What do you look for?
Well, what we'll be looking for is to make sure that the seat is in date, because those seats do actually expire, which a lot of people don't realize. They do have expiration dates on them. We're going to check the tightness of the seat. We're going to make sure that it's the right seat for the child's height, weight, and that the seat is in the right positioning in the vehicle.
All right, so see some of these subtle things. Anything to elaborate? You are certified as well, Kim.
Right, I am a certified technician. What some of the common mistakes that we see are that the harnesses are too loose. So you want to make sure that you have that harness really tight, that you cannot pinch any of the webbing. And then also the chest clip. A lot of times we see that too low or too high, and that needs to be at armpit level. No matter the age of the child, that's a good standard rule, is the armpit level for that chest clip as well. Those are some of the common things we see, other than maybe incorrect installation or loose installation.
Well, I remember state police started doing child safety seat checks maybe 15 years ago or so, and then about 5 years into it, they said most, M-O-S-T, of the people that they see, the seat's not installed correctly, or the child's not buckled in correctly. Most.
Yes.
Which I thought was just a startling thing, really, when you're talking about kids. All right, when it comes to seatbelt laws or child passenger safety, anything else critical we missed?
So the law does go by age, and we like to remind everybody that just because a law says at age 2 you can go to forward facing, or at age 4 you can be in a booster seat, that it might not be the best fit for your child. As Mike mentioned, not all 8-year-olds are 4'9", not all 4-year-olds are the same size. So we do like to remind everybody to make sure you're following the recommendations of your car seat. There should be a sticker right on that car seat telling you age, weight and height. And then also you can look into your owner's manual for that car seat for that information as well.
All right. Well, and I think maybe car seats should have a little Cosmo that comes with them. You know, are you bigger than Cosmo, like at Knoebels, you know?
Speaking of, we actually have posters that we just purchased through Safe Kids that are going to be distributed to area businesses and schools and libraries. And it's actually a child showing that you need to be this tall to be out of a booster seat. So that's going to be our spring project, delivering those around to anybody that wants some daycare and that sort of thing, and trying to get parents to have an easy way to go over and measure their child quickly to see if they should be out of a booster seat or not.
All right. Well, when you come back, I always talk to you right before the summer begins and school's out. Bring one of those. We'll put it on the wall there, and we'll see who fits against
it. Awesome.
And who does not. All right. We're talking to Kimberly Smith, Safety Press Officer with PennDOT District 3O, and Mike Deal, Community Traffic Safety Coordinator with Highway Safety Network. Let's talk about speed limits. You mentioned that's something that's got to be brought up and reminded. I guess I'll start with Mike, and we have frozen precipitation overnight, so I guess just asking people to use common sense isn't enough. We need a lot more help, I guess.
Yeah. What a lot of people don't understand is that those speed limits are actually put into place for ideal conditions. So conditions like we're going to have tonight and into tomorrow would not be considered ideal. So even if that speed limit sign says 35 miles an hour, if the conditions are not ideal on that road, it's slippery, it's wet, it's snowy, you want to slow that speed down, because you can actually be cited then if you're driving too quickly on covered roads like this. You can then be cited for too fast for conditions. So that's something to consider when you're out driving in these winter weather conditions.
Okay, so that's one thing. Of course, you're, half the time you're going to get that citation, it's after an incident or a crash or something. So you want to make sure that that takes place. How pervasive is the speeding issue in Pennsylvania?
I would say it's pretty pervasive. We have about 20% of our crashes each year in Pennsylvania involve speeding, and sometimes you have other aggressive driving maneuvers involved with that too, such as tailgating and weaving in and out of traffic, that sort of thing. But speeding is really common, and we hear this a lot when we go to programs in high schools and colleges. Well, if they're let me go 5 miles over the speed limit, and while it's true a police officer may not pull you over for only 5 miles over the speed limit, keep in mind that that increases the distance you need to stop your car. It also gives you less time to react to a situation. So if somebody ahead of you is braking, or a dog or a child runs out in front of you, you have less time to react because you are going faster. So it is important to follow those speed limits and know what they are. And like Mike said, make sure that it's ideal conditions when you're going the speed limit.
And you talk about covering so many football fields every couple seconds if you're going 60 miles an hour?
Yeah, so if you're traveling at 55 miles per hour, you cover the length of a football field in 4.6 seconds. So you cover a huge distance in a very short amount of time traveling at that speed.
Okay, so that's you're going to have to try to pay attention because of that. And you say there are a lot of crashes because of speeding, so that's something else. And this idea that cars capable of going, a lot faster nowadays safely?
Yeah, I mean, you do see that some of those cars can go quite fast and quite quickly, 0.whatever seconds to go 60 miles per hour. It's really scary, and it's one of those things you could do. Like, seatbelts are the number one thing you can do to save your life in the event of a crash. You can avoid a crash by just slowing down and, giving yourself that little bit of extra time in between the vehicles ahead of you. It just gives you that extra reaction time.
Well, we used to talk about slowing down to save gasoline, less of a prevalence, but gas prices are going back up, so maybe slowing down will be save you a dollar or two. We hear a little bit less about that. All right, we're going to continue our conversation with our good experts at 7:40. We'll be joined on the news line by Trooper Andrea Pelichick. So she'll give us about a 5-minute primer on distracted driving and impaired driving. And one of the new laws proposed in Harrisburg relates to medical marijuana. So we'll ask her about that, this idea that DUI laws have, zero tolerance for any medical marijuana in your system, right?
So if you have a medical marijuana license, it doesn't mean that you can, be using that and drive. It's just like alcohol. Alcohol is not illegal if you're over the age of 21, but it doesn't mean that you're allowed to drink and drive. So there are definitely messages that we need to get out there on that medical marijuana.
All right, we'll talk to her about that. I think that's a real subtlety that folks are it's a new learning for folks in Pennsylvania, particularly if you happen to be in a situation where you're using medical marijuana. To be continued, our driver safety sunrise interview at 7:40.
On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk, Rob Center on the other side of the glass, right in the middle of an interview with Kimberly Smith, safety press officer for PennDOT District 3O, and Mike Deal, the community traffic safety coordinator with the Highway Safety Network. And we are joined on the news line again by a state trooper who we met a number of months ago talking about driver safety and important messages. Trooper Andrea Pelichick is a community service officer with the state police at Troop F Milton. Thank you, Trooper Pelichick. Thanks for calling in again.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I really do appreciate it. We spent the first half of our conversation with these good guests at 7:10 talking about seatbelts and child safety laws, and I think some of the subtleties and the important aspects of the laws. We thought it was a great idea by Kimberly Smith to bring you on board to talk about distracted driving and impaired driving laws because, again, some subtleties apply there. So give us a quick overview of some of the distracted driving laws that apply in Pennsylvania, and of course I think texting is probably the big thing that enters into that, but tell us about those laws and what we should do.
Absolutely. So distracted driving, typically what you think, like you said, is usually texting and driving, but it could also be eating and drinking while driving, changing the radio station, talking on the phone, reading or trying to write something down, doing your hair and makeup, basically anything that takes your attention away from your driving and the roadway.
Again,
the number one thing is nowadays texting and driving.
I used to sit here with Rick Mason about 25 years ago in this studio and talk about, he would say, give your full attention to driving. Well, that phrase stuck with me, but that's what you're saying, that when you're behind the wheel, don't come up with 100 other things to pass the time or change the, you know, just keep the radio station on WKOK. That's sound advice anyway. But you would really just try to pretend that you're totally immersed in this and this is your only job.
Absolutely. When you're driving, you're not only responsible for your life, but also the lives of people that may be in your car, the people in other cars around you, or pedestrians near the roadway.
All right. And Kim, I predict texting's the most common distraction. Is that what it is now?
Right. We do see texting and driving as a major distraction. Of course, distracted driving was well before cell phones, but nowadays everybody seems to be addicted to their device. And when you hear that ding and you know you got a text message, it's really hard to ignore that. But for safety's sake, you really need to just ignore that ding, turn your phone off if you find that hard to ignore that ding, and just wait until you are parked and can safely look at your phone.
That ding. I think we did a story about that with a psychologist who says we derive great pleasure from knowing that somebody wishes to contact us, you know, so that's the truth. And Mike, we all drive vehicles new enough to know that there's screens there for us to look at and fancy stuff to play with, and some come with satellite built in. There's a lot of other things we can do other than give our full attention to driving.
Absolutely. There's enough other stuff built into these vehicles now that you can very easily become distracted without ever having to pick up your phone. And that was one of the great things about Bluetooth when it was designed, was, hey, you don't have to pick up your phone anymore. But what that did was it encouraged people to talk on the phone while they're driving. And even talking on the phone while you're driving, even though it's not in your hand, is still very distracting.
Right, yeah. I can end up getting all the way to Harrisburg before I realize that, I've covered a lot of ground if I'm doing a work call or something like that. And Trooper Pelichick, GPS device, we can use that. That much is permitted per se, but what?
Yes, that is correct. If you are using, let's say, your cell phone, as long as you're using it for the GPS device within the cell phone, that is permittable by the law.
Okay, so any other subtleties that relate to distracted driving or big important common sense measures that you would like to reiterate?
One thing I just found interesting, research shows that while you're distracted and driving, it actually makes the driver's reactions much slower, and it's almost as if you're impaired past the legal limit of 0.08 for the BCA. So it's actually equivalent to almost being impaired at times.
Okay, and so that would be critical if something pops up in front of you, even if you're just going down a straight road or street or highway, you think it's all clear in front of you, something pops up, then that's where that impairment comes in. You won't be able to react as fast. That wouldn't be ideal. Okay, really quickly here, impaired driving, the rules and some of the subtleties associated with that.
Yes, so driving under the influence of either alcohol, drugs, or a controlled substance of some sort is definitely still illegal. You would be arrested for a DUI within Pennsylvania.
Well, and we hear about medical marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania under certain circumstances. What's the law as it relates to medical marijuana?
You still, even with prescriptions for medical marijuana, you cannot operate a vehicle while it's still in your bloodstream.
And how long is, if somebody out there is using it, I know a lot of folks have prescriptions for that or whatever it's called, how long does medical marijuana stay in your system?
That usually depends on the person. I think the rule of thumb is usually 24 hours.
Okay, so 24 hours, that would be one rule of thumb. Certainly longer for a trace of it would probably seem likely. Anything to add, panel, to that medical marijuana conversation?
Not in the medical marijuana. I would just say for impaired driving, keep in mind that even over-the-counter or prescription medications can affect your driving. So if it says do not operate heavy machinery, that means your vehicle.
Okay, and other prescription drugs should be included in this, Mike?
Yeah, any prescription drug should be included in this. Like Kim said, even your over-the-counter stuff, people don't generally think about it, but things like NyQuil, it's going to make you drowsy. And if you take that NyQuil and then decide, oh my gosh, I have to go out and get some milk, well, you're driving impaired at that point.
All right. Trooper Pelichick, anything to add from your end? Then we'll get back to our panel discussion about some of these other safety points there, emphasizing anything else you would like to add.
No, I think we hit all the main topics for this.
All right. Well, keep in touch. You have an open mic here anytime in the weeks and months ahead. Everybody can come back to our studios as our good guests today here. So the pandemic is over, and we're now allowed to have guests in here as long as they wear a mask. Coming into the building. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Trooper Pelichick. Yeah, do stay in touch. We appreciate your help and all your information. Okay. So back here in our studio here that we're going to wrap up. We've got a couple of minutes left. Important talking points we haven't touched on yet today.
We went over the distracted driving, and I'd like to remind parents to drive the way you want your children to drive, because they are watching you. And if they see you getting on Facebook or they see you sending a text, they're going to do the same thing. So just keep in mind that you do want to drive the way that you want them to drive, because they are always watching you.
All right. Important topics that we haven't touched on or haven't mentioned yet. Please, Mike.
The only other thing I can think with distraction is, you know, as a passenger, you want to make sure that you're a good passenger in the vehicle, that you are helping your driver look out for hazards on the roadway. You don't want to have your nose in the phone, and you certainly don't want to be pulling up pictures or other things and shoving them over in front of the driver's face saying, hey, check this out.
All right, so you want to set a good example as a parent or just as anybody driving anywhere to teach other people as you go along how to be a good driver, giving your full attention to driving, and reiterate your important sound advice there again, Mike, and you can elaborate on it just a little bit.
To be a good passenger, you want to make sure that you're looking out for other hazards on the roadways. You want to make sure that you're helping your driver. That is key as a passenger. Help your driver, because your life is in their hands.
All right. And then if you don't like what the driver's doing, tell them what to do and order them to do this or that.
Absolutely.
No.
Speak up.
Well, speak up. Yeah, you can't order them around.
My husband would tell you I'm good at that.
But backseat driving. Yes. Well, I always joke with my friends that I have an automatic green light detection device in my vehicle. My lovely bride, who says, it's green. It's green. So that works in my vehicle, but it doesn't work in all vehicles. Well, thank you both so much for coming to our studios. We're great to have you back. You're among the first guests we've had back in the studio, so we're glad to welcome folks back. We're still wearing masks in and out to get to the microphone, but thank you again. Kim, if I want to get more information from you, from where does that come?
Right. We have a lot of safety information on our website. You could just go to PennDOT.gov/safety, and you can search by topics.
All right. Highway Safety Network. Please, Mike.
You can go to our website at www.highwaysafetynetwork.org.
All right. Kimberly Smith, Safety Press Officer with PennDOT District 3O, based out of Montoursville, but we see her all over the territory. And Mike Deal, Community Traffic Safety Coordinator with the Highway Safety Network.